On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, John and I are joined by Tim Bassa, the president of Telegration. We're talking about the agent relationship. We'll get into some sandwich chat as we normally do. And we'll finish talking about some Gators.
Well, and
all of the above.
All of the above.
Stay tuned.
Heads in the Cloud with your host, David Portnowitz, Graham Potter, and John Roth.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Roth.
And we've got a great guest today.
Yeah, Tim Bassa.
And Tim is someone we've known for a long time. Tim is the president of Telegration, who is one of the few master agents we work with, one of the ones that we have a very, very, very close relationship with, and someone that we have really, you know, been tied in close with over the last, I would say, what do you think, five, six, seven years. Based out of Michigan, which is one of my favorite states. Lots of good beer up there and lots of nice lakes and lots of outdoor activities. I like Michigan. And I'm looking forward to talking to him.
Absolutely.
What do you think, you know, you're on the recruiting side. When you talk to agents or potential agents, you know, what are some of the things they look for in a good master agent?
Well, I think one of the things that we're probably going to hear from Tim is the fact that I think that they just don't want to bring on every single agent that wants to sell a multitude of things. And I think that I want to, and I'm now in talking to him before. It's you know, he really is doesn't want to just sell on price. He wants to make sure you're fitting your customer with the right. And I think that's something that a lot of agents they kind of have grown toward, because it is not just let's throw three quotes in front of a customer and see which one they're going to buy it on. I think they really need to be very consultative of what they do, and we're hearing that a lot. The Telegration really helps them with that process of understanding it, being more of a solution provider to their customers.
Well, yeah, I think the agents traditionally, historically, have had that rap of being, you know, like slinging a lot of quotes, trying to find the lowest deal or make the most money. And I think that narrative has changed over the last couple
Absolutely.
Of years
yeah.
to where they're taking a more consultative approach. Obviously, they're looking for that longer revenue stream. I mean, that's no secret. But I think that they are... You know, they want to go up market, and to go up market, you have to really be a trusted advisor. You can't just give them three quotes and then move on. You've got to be able to someone that they can call on and they can rely on. And you know, to do that, you have to have that relationship. And Telegration does a fantastic job, I think, of one, educating their agents. I think they're one of the leaders in the industry in education and really providing their agents with the right materials at the right time. But two, I think, like you said, you know, they're not looking to have a master agency for 20,000 agents, right? I mean, they're focused on what, under 1,000 or so are agents.
They have about 1,000 agents, yeah.
And they're really focused on getting those agents activated. And I think when you take that approach, and you can be a little bit more selective in who you want to work with.
And I think that really kind of boils down to their customer base of that agent as well. You want to be very selective of who you bring on as a customer.
Yep.
Because someone that is going to beat you up in the beginning over price and continually do that, and not have any loyalty, you know, you're wasting a lot of time and energy, and you're looking for someone, you know, that's a customer you want to just walk away from.
Yep.
Because nobody wants to have a customer.
It's going
to
cost you more in the long
absolutely.
Run, whether it's a headache or yeah. financially, but it's going to cost
you. Both. It's really when you bring a customer on it's a pain in the beginning, it is going to get progressively worse.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting shift, though, because, you know, for a long time, I think the master agents were really focused on, let's just get as many agents as we have quoting as many quotes as they can, because that's obviously going to result in, you know, if the close rate is, you know, 2 or 3%,
right.
then, you know, we're going to get more money in. But I think as time goes by, you know, that model has to change, because, you know, the agents that are out there just doing that are going to be more of a headache and more of a problem and more work than they're worth. And
exactly.
You know, that's not the kind of people that we want to work with or that Telegration wants to work with, and vice versa. So, I'm interested to hear what Tim has to say about how they select those agents, you know, where they really are focused. And then I'm interested to talk to Tim about how do they keep their agents motivated? Because that has been a challenge, I know, for us, is we get agents, they come in, they have a deal or two, and then they disappear, right?
Right.
And so I'm interested to hear what his take is on how they, and I'm sure that's their problem as well, you know, how they keep them motivated in selling.
Yeah, good point.
Because mind share with agents is tough.
It is very tough.
To me, they're a little bit like squirrels, right? I mean, they're just, they see a shiny object and they're
exactly
they're
there's a duck.
The next thing. Yeah, so
there's a duck.
It's a challenge. And so, yeah, what should we give Tim a call?
Let's give him a call.
All right, let's do it. All right, John and I are now joined by Tim Bassa, who is the president at Telegration, which is one of our best master agents that we work with. We've been with Telegration now for, gosh, maybe 5, 6, 7 years. We've been working with you guys. Welcome to the show, and thanks so much for joining us today, Tim.
Thanks. It's great to be here. We love being a star-to-star partner. So like you said, it's been a long, great relationship between our two companies.
And where are you? Are you up in Michigan?
Yeah, just outside of Metro Detroit.
Oh, how's the weather up there?
It's been rainy. It feels a little like Portland or Seattle the past few weeks. The weekend was nice though.
Well, yeah, I've heard it's been constantly raining in Michigan for like the last 2 weeks.
Chicago, I heard that yesterday. Like days, just like, yeah.
For our partners that aren't familiar with Telegration, Tim, why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, sort of the history of the company, your philosophy, what makes you guys a little different in the master agent world, and sort of your direction, the way you're going.
Sure. Telegration is a 29-year-old master agency. Our heritage is really in long distance resale. And then as we saw, you know, we've come a long way from just choosing your long distance carrier. And as we saw the confusion and choices become very cumbersome to business owners, and we also saw the channel growing, we decided to become a master agent and to help alleviate the confusion and hassle that goes along with sourcing, selecting, and negotiating these, we call them essential technology services for end users. So we wanted to empower and enable sort of terms that are used a lot now, but in the early 90s and 2000s, they weren't. We wanted to empower the end user with a knowledgeable technology advisor that could help them wade through all the choices that were available, whether that was long distance, internet, or then the coming of voice over IP. And now it's so crowded. The space is so crowded. There's more confusion than ever. I think where we stand out is we're not trying to be the biggest master agency. We're not trying to be the one with the most providers. We're trying to be a great master agency for the right solution providers that really want a back office as a service, want knowledgeable concierge level support, so they can just focus on growing their business and serving their end user clients.
So you're really trying to focus on a niche of type of agent, or is the agent sort of looking for a specific type of master agent? It's sort of like, how does that relationship work?
Yeah, it's a little of both. We're not focused on the partner that has relationships with 25 different masters and is trying to win 10 different president's clubs and squeeze every ounce of margin out of every deal. Look, we want our partners to make a great living. We understand they're a for-profit business, but we believe that there's a better way forward, and that's through having a couple streams of income, maybe 2 or 3 masters. I understand that. You don't want all your eggs in one basket. And then really focusing on the ones that specialize in areas that you specialize. Mm-hmm. So whether that's the UCaaS space or, you know, now with SD-WAN, who's going to best support your business on a daily basis so you can go and serve the end user? So again, there are master agents out there that do a wonderful job that talk about how many sub-agents they have and how much they pay. And some of those companies have less employees than Telegration has. Mm. So I don't know how you can serve 5 or 6,000 or 3,000 partners with 50 or 60 employees, or even 100 employees for that matter. So, you know, we're around 50 employees and they all support our partners, and we have less than 1,000 sub-agents. So our sub-agents tend to be, we call them Telegration family. They're part of the Telegration family. We're an integral part of their business. So we're looking for a good match.
That's great to hear. And so are you, what are you hearing from your sub agents that they are looking for? What's on the forefront of their mind is it the SD-WAN space? Is it 5G? What are they talking about?
Yeah, I think for sure SD-WAN is on the mind of everybody. We track SD-WAN quotes as a subset of some KPI here. So we see the quotes are going way up, and the sales are sort of trailing that now. But what has happened is we believe that we're starting to demystify what SD-WAN really is.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge.
And I'm not an engineer, yeah. So don't take me down that path. But I was even confused a little bit. So, you know, what I was using years ago as failover is really a form of SD-WAN, right? Yep. So let's agree on some common terms. Then the next thing that we see, and this is perhaps more to your point, what partners are saying to us, especially when it comes to dealing with master agents, is when they call a master agent, and the master agent, and this applies, this isn't a negative thing towards any other master. I think we're all as a body of industry, we're all moving towards this. And that's when a partner calls us up and asks for a recommendation, we can't just say the one partner every time.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, it's always Star2Star for UCaaS. Well, look, Star2Star is a great company, but you might not be the perfect fit for every customer. So mm-hmm. where our partners got frustrated and where we've really pivoted away from is we don't play favorites. We want to be knowledgeable on all the providers in our portfolio. So if SD-WAN's the hot product, then we have to know them all at a high level and then be able to go as deep as our partners want us to go in order to find the best fit for their end user. And that could be in the UCaaS space or contact center. What we're seeing more and more now is building a solution. So we call them partner advocates. Our partner advocates have become really good at building a solution versus just saying, here's the low cost mm-hmm. or here's the one with the most incentives now for mm-hmm. your customer. It's more about building a package that aligns with the roadmap of the client, if that makes sense.
I think that makes perfect sense. I think with having just, you know, 1,000 agents, they really are kind of focused and focused on that customer and probably very specialized, and they know what that customer is looking for. And that's what you guys do. You really are. You're taking the top level, the cream of the crop, so to speak, on those agents where they know they're going to be taking your offerings and your suggestions and partnering with you.
And we have a lot of partners that are sales partners that are newer to the business. Mm-hmm. Let's call it, you know, 2 or 3 years in, they're standing up their agency. Maybe they were a direct employee. Also, we see new entrants into the market. So maybe they had an insurance business and they stumbled upon our space, you know, this telco space, and they're trying to get in. So we have to be fair to them, give them a shot at learning the portfolio, understanding the players, understanding the why behind some of these decisions versus just jamming Johnny fiber provider down their throat. That's not going to play long term.
It's an interesting point you make about sort of stumbling into the telco space. Have you noticed, because one thing we've noticed is, for example, companies that have been like copiers, traditional sold like, you know, Ricoh or Xerox or someone like that, you know, they're sort of entering that telco space. Have you noticed in other verticals where people are coming in and sort of looking at this as an ancillary business or even perhaps could take over as a primary business for what they used to be doing?
100%. So, you know, and as us guys who've been in the channel for a long time, We know the VAR, MSP, software, you know, software vendors. But I do think, and we're seeing exactly what you just said, is insurance, software, copy machines, anything that's a business service related, mm-hmm. Energy brokers who have always been on the fringe. They've known about us and we've known about them, but we've never dove fully into their business and they've never really come into ours. Well, now we see them in our space. Even some of the brokers of services like waste management are in our space now, because what's happening is they are the guy or gal for their client, and their client says, do you know anybody who does blank?
Yeah.
And that leads them down a path to find us.
And they don't want to lose that potential revenue stream.
And they don't want to lose it. In fact, they want to add to their revenue stream, because no different than in our space, the margins go down as the monthly reoccurring charges go down, right? So you have a product that could be, you know, the in air quotes race to zero product. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only three ways to grow any business, whether it's a restaurant or a telecom business. You have to add brand new customers. You have to add new products and services to your existing customers, or you have to raise prices. And for the most part, agents can't raise prices. They're not Starbucks. They can't add a penny to every cup of coffee and no one will notice, right? So they only have two ways to do it. And that's net new or add to what you have. And getting net new is very hard. Yep. So if you have a 500 customers and you're the waste consultant or the shipping logistics consultant, you're negotiating those rates, you're looking for a new revenue stream, this falls right into your lap, and it's residual plus upfront. It's a great business, and it's a way to take your expertise to another level. That's also a big threat to a traditional channel partner.
How do you educate those folks? I mean, where do you start with people like that come in from, like, let's say, waste management or insurance and have no one, you know, that maybe have no idea what VoIP or SD-WAN, especially SD-WAN, is? How do you educate those folks?
Yeah, we just tell them to keep it simple. So we provide them with a very basic training where they can interview their client. We call, like I mentioned before, we call it essential business services. We have a grid that we outline all the services that they may or may not be using. And we teach them a very basic pitch around what a master agent does mm-hmm. as a technology advisor that we help research, source, select, negotiate, and implement services with carriers that they currently use or will use. So they're not changing a pattern if they don't want to. They're not buying anything that they don't have to buy. They're currently in the market or will be in the market in the future. It's a very simple training deck. And then they bring those opportunities to our partner advocate team, and our team takes it from there. We'll jump on calls with them. We'll do the pricing and the proposal for them. And then if needed, we have a group of agents at Telegration called Telegration Advisors. They're branded partners. They're like franchises, someone called them. So they will also jump in and participate in the sales process and then do a commission split with a non-traditional partner. And so our traditional partners will do that too. It just depends on where these relationships happen around the country.
I think one of the other verticals that I've seen in the last few years is companies that actually will go and actually furnish and put everything in place for a new customer starting a business, from the desk to the coffee service to the phones on their desk, and couple it all together. And your monthly fee is X. And that's something that we've seen in California. I know there's several companies that are doing that. Have you seen that? And have you seen that type of a player before?
I haven't seen it down to the desks, but we have a partner that provides it's a flat per employee fee, and they support everything except for paper, toner, keyboards, and mics.
Wow.
So, software, laptop, telephony, conferencing,
exactly.
The whole network, security, physical cameras, you know, the physical security, IoT sensors, everything except for the consumables, cables too. So, you know, if your iPhone cable breaks, they have about 100 customers and they're growing at a nice pace. But as you can imagine, that's a heavy support model.
Right.
But there are, especially, and I'm sure this is in every area, but especially in places where there's a lot of remote offices. So Detroit is a place like that, where you have a lot of automotive, where an international company will come and plunk down 100 employees in Metro Detroit. Well, to find all the things, it's pretty hard, but they can work with our partner, and the partner just sets all those things up, you know, except for the furniture.
That's crazy. I mean, that's such a, like you said, a heavy support model. But if you can get in and have a nice customer base, I mean, that's a nice recurring revenue, I'm assuming. I mean, that
yeah, and super sticky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where are they going to go?
Super sticky.
I'm going to take your chair is not going to be there. If you don't pay your bill, you lose your chair.
That's right. They come in the middle of the night with ski masks on.
Well, it used to be anything, you know, anything on the network. I mean, you know, phones or copiers, everything. That was obviously an MSP model, but to go out to that next level, I just thought that was kind of fascinating. Down to the, you know, to the coffee service. I mean, everything, they would take care of it.
Yeah.
And here's your monthly fee. And obviously with that kind of a buying power, you could get some, overall, you'd look at it and go, that's not a bad deal. I pay X amount per month for everything, including, and I'm sure they'd pay several months up front, and like any type of ROI sure. model, if they can have a payout that's going to be in 18 months, just like an MSP model, like an 18-month model of looking at it and go, okay,
yeah.
keep this customer for 6 years and I'm good. 18 months is really going to be that's where my payout starts to happen.
Well, if you look at the WeWork model,
yep.
what you're describing makes sense. So if someone sees a WeWork, they see that cool environment and they want that for their company, but they don't know how to hire a designer, or maybe they do, but you know, designer, negotiate furniture, all these things, where if there is a company like a WeWork that does it as a service and they'll come in and build that type of look, feel, culture, and then, hey, we'll take care of it for you. The coffee will be great. We'll make sure that the beer's on tap, but it only works during right, certain hours.
Right. Yeah.
Look, they certainly that could be done, right? I mean, that's a great business model. It's a turnkey model where you still control your environment, but someone else is saying, hey, we have the magic touch. No different than, I guess, a stylist would do for your wardrobe.
Tim, what are you hearing from your agents? What are some of the biggest motivators right now? You know, if I think forever, the incentive model or spiffs have sort of been what has really turned the needle there. What is that still the case? Is it something else, or is it a combination of the two? You know, how do you stay top of mind with these agents, and how do you keep them motivated?
Yeah, I'll go a couple different directions with this. We have this conversation a lot, not only internally at Telegration, but I've had this when I'm on carrier advisory councils or in board meetings with other sales companies. I'll boil it down to something that I say a lot. People get sick of me hearing it from me, but I say there's quitters, campers, and climbers. So quitters are quitters, right? Most quitters don't get into this game, but you never know. Campers start as climbers, and they climb to a spot where they're happy and they camp. That could be $5,000 a month. That could be $50,000 a month. That could be $500,000 a month. We don't know, but they will camp at that level. Climbers climb, but eventually most camp, unless they're Elon Musk or Bill Gates or Bezos, right? Those guys they're taking moonshots. So what we have to do is meet people where they are and then move them where they want to go. So if they're in climbing mode, we have to find out what they want to climb to. And if it's an income, that's great. If it's a lifestyle, that's great. If it's putting their kids through college or paying off a costly divorce. I mean, I've heard lots of stories, tax bills. So whatever that is, we want to help put them in position to win and to get them to their campground, whatever that looks like to them. And then when they're there, if they want to maintain that, then they have to be focused now a little bit on offense because there's attrition, but also on defense. They have to do quarterly business reviews with their big clients. So we teach them a little bit about the business and how to run those meetings to keep the barbarians that are at the gate out of their profit stream or their revenue stream. So, you know, you have this ecosystem of partners, and it's a noisy world. So part two of that is we say around here, attention, awareness, action. So attention's becoming harder and harder to get. So how do we get the attention of our partners? Well, we have to be everywhere they are. We have to be on their devices. We have to be on podcasts like this. We have to be around them constantly saying, hey, we're over here. We're ready for you when you need us. If you need us now, that's great. But we've been here for 29 years. We'll be here for 29 more. We're here when you need us. So that's attention. Hey, we're over here. Awareness is, hey, here's what we're not like everybody else in the business. We support you on a different level. You get an assigned team of four people that go from pricing all the way through commissions, investigations, and analysts. You'll know them on a first name basis. You'll be able to call them up and talk to them. That's a great thing. Here's what we do. And then action, take the next step. Know that we're here. Take the next step. Let's start doing some quotes for you. Let's get engaged on a marketing opportunity where we can help you with some email marketing or with co-branded marketing materials. What's a way we can enable success? And then let's take action, put some deadlines around that, and define what success looks like to all of us, and then drive forward with the partner. That was a lot, guys.
No,
sorry.
You know what, Tim? That's great. I mean, I love to hear you go deep on those topics, because I think it's really important that you try to understand, you know, like you said, where the agent wants to go and how you guys are going to get them there. You know, I'm sure your team is focused on doing those QBRs with those agents and understanding their goals and how and how they think they're going to get there. Because, you know, we're all, you know, we're sort of in the same business on this side of it, and it's tricky to keep the top of mind. I mean, that's a challenge, and I think you have to be able to obviously show them that there's a way to be financially successful, but you also have to show them that you're just going to be there to support them and be there to help, like you said, provide education to them. There's got to be some kind of added benefit that's not financial, because the financial key can always be turned like harder or longer or faster by somebody else. And if that's the case, then you're going to eventually lose. So you've got to be able to provide something else that's ancillary that can't be sort of quantified.
Yes. Yeah. And the money is like buying on price, right? So someone else can always go lower. Maybe someone else can always pay more commissions. So what we say is easy, lucrative, fun. Yeah, I have all these goofy things, guys. You'll get used to it. But ELF, right? So is the provider easy to do business with? Is it a lucrative comp plan? Is it a fun space? Are they good people? And it's a goofy, childish way to figure out if we have a good partner. But if someone says, well, I just want the biggest commission. Okay, well, that's a slippery slope. If someone says, well, I want the lowest price. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, but the lowest price doesn't always come with the best results. So let's talk about the client a little bit. And we've really invested a lot in training our partner advocates and our support team here to give people options. And if they want the lowest price, say, okay, I'll give you the lowest price, but based on what you said, I want to prescribe this provider. And here's two reasons why they could be good. And just in the UCaaS space alone, we've seen our sales really go up. And the sources of supply, the number of providers we sell has also increased. So that's bad news for some of the providers.
Us.
Because they're not getting you. Because, 100%, guys. But here's what I'll say. That's maybe a good segue. Here's what I'll say. I also think it's going to benefit you long term, because you're so good at what you do for the right prospect.
Yep.
And star to star is bulletproof. It doesn't go down. You support the shit. Can I say shit?
You can say shit.
You support the shit out of your customers. The partners love working with you. Sometimes the commission matrix gets a little wonky, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
We've cracked the code after all these years of working with you guys. But I think our partners are gravitating now towards, look, this is pretty, there's these shiny balls over there, mm-hmm. and they look really good, but does a customer need all these things? So if the answer is no, then why wouldn't you go down the path with star to star? Great feature set, still broad and deep, and it all works. It's all vetted out the right way. And now the way that your stack works with Citrix, mm-hmm. and your contact center, it's more good on an already great, or more great on an already great product. Good's probably the wrong thing.
No,
instead of a great example is Citrix. Like, you could have went out and said, hey, we built this technology, you're smart guys, lots of engineers, we built this technology. But instead of doing that, you added a product that's already known in a community that's already known. I think that's a force multiplier. And I think the same is, it could be said with Big Leaf.
Yeah, we agree. I mean, especially on the Citrix, I mean, Big Leaf obviously too, but the Citrix thing is really exciting. I mean, we're getting a lot of pickup. I mean, I think that the agents, especially that channel, where they've been selling Citrix and they know the space. And, you know, with security risk and things like that, for us to be able to leverage our UCaaS solution over the Citrix VDI or the virtual desktop,
yeah.
I mean, that's a win-win. So we're really excited to get that going, and hopefully we can get more of that with your agents. We'd love to do that. So tell me, Tim, a little bit about where we can find Telegration over the next few months. You guys got any events going on?
Yeah, so we're really a low event company. We're not, again, not like a big, we don't do 100. And someone told me that one of the bigger masters has 190 events this year, something just crazy. So
I think we're trying to sponsor all of them, Tim.
Oh boy. Good
no,
luck
I'm just
on the road.
I'm just joking.
Yeah. So we have a couple big events, and then we do a lot of smaller events. So we do, Telegration has a program we do in July called Next. So that's, we curate a group of our top sellers, and top can be highest performing or highest potential. They come into Traverse City, Michigan, which is a beautiful place if you've never been there.
It's fantastic. Love the cherries.
Yeah, Cherry Festival is amazing. So it's great, you know, beer, wine, golf. Not that it's all centered around that. So this is beer, wine, golf, technology. And then the other thing that we do that I think is unique is we only allow a small subset of our suppliers to join us there. And there's no PowerPoints. So the educational tracks are conversations like this where we talk about real world things that are happening, tips, technology, things that our partners, both the supplier and the sellers, can go and use right away. In fact, sometimes they get used during the event. Someone calls a prospect or engages in a deal with a new supplier. So it's very curated. It's around 200 people. So we don't open it up and have, you know, 500 or 600 people where it's a cattle call event. That's a really great event. It's our showcase event. The other thing that we're doing is more customer interaction. So end user customers. So technology showcases. We're doing one in October in Detroit. And then we're going to expand that. We've done them in Detroit the past 2 years. So we're doing a bit, we've expanded the audience for that. So it's actually a community event. We're changing the name. So I'm not sure 100% what the name's going to be, but I think it's going to be TechX Detroit. And it's where technology connects to the end users. We'll have suppliers there, but our sellers will be able to bring their customers and prospects to the event, introduce them directly to the carrier, see demos. It's more of a hands-on learning experience, especially with all the questions around some of this newer tech, especially IoT, yep, SD-WAN, and security. I think this is a better way to engage than just doing a partner Topgolf event.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think it's fantastic to bring the customers with the partners. I mean, that I think that's the next step, and I'm glad to see you guys are doing that. Tell us a little bit about, you guys just started launching a podcast yourself called The Better Way to Buy IT. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So Better Way to Buy IT is really exciting for us. We believe, as I said earlier, there's a lot of miscommunication. There's a lot of confusion in the marketplace. And guys, you know, you hear the stories. There's horror stories from end users that make the wrong decision. They don't have the right information, or they were sold, no offense to any carrier that has a direct sales team. I mean, Star to Star, I know you're channel only, but you have carriers out there with these monstrous direct sales teams. They're very well trained. They go into an end user. They only tell them one side of the story versus the whole story. So Better Way to Buy IT is really designed with the end user in mind. So somebody has, whether they have 3 employees or 30,000 employees, they can hear from carriers like Star to Star or others about just real life stories on how to better source, select, negotiate, implement technology from the people who are doing it versus just hearing from a sales voice.
That's awesome. Well, we'd love to be on.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be on for sure.
Okay.
Fantastic. So John, I know we always have a couple of questions we'd like to ask at the end, Tim. I know we've taken up too much of your time already, but hopefully you have time for 2 more questions.
Well, it's actually, you know what? I expanded it a little bit, David.
Well, you got
I got some more questions. So basically, that we have a fixation on sandwiches, but I got a couple of questions. So is an open face sandwich really a sandwich in your world? We had a discussion yesterday at lunch, so
no,
totally off topic.
It's not a sandwich. It's just meat on bread, right? A sandwich has to, like, you pick it up and eat it with your hands.
Got
Isn't
it.
That true?
I'm in agreement. We just had a discussion. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm all for the open face sandwich, I guess, or the.
But it's more like a meal on bread.
It's a meal on bread.
It's just a meal on bread.
It's like an avocado toast.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm all for that. It's especially if it has gravy or something that soaks in the bread. Yeah. It's delicious.
Okay. So the next question is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, a hot dog is a hot dog, right?
Okay.
Disagree.
Disagree.
A hot dog is meat between 2 pieces of bread. It is a sandwich.
I think, does it depend on how you eat it? If you eat it sideways, so the bread's on the top and the bottom, is that a sandwich? Or if the bun rips, like you get a quitter bun, it just can't keep its shit together and it quits, then it's a sandwich. Well, we turn it sideways.
But and the other piece is, you know, what if you had 2 hot dogs, you slice them down the middle and put them on bread? Now that would be a sandwich, right?
100% sandwich, and I love that. It sounds good. You're making me hungry.
Okay.
They start to curl a little bit.
So here's the last question in this segment, because this is the most fun part. We're so totally fixated. What would be your favorite sandwich?
Ooh. I don't know. Gosh,
oh boy,
my favorite sandwich. Probably two things popped into my mind right away. So the first thing that popped in my mind is just grilled cheese, like a good grilled cheese on thick bread, you know, buttered.
What kind of bread? What kind of cheese?
Oh man, probably, put him on the spot.
Probably cheddar cheese, and then so there's a bakery that my wife gets this like thick whole grain bread from, and it's really good. I don't know, but it's like thicker whole grain bread. That's not a very good description. That's good.
No, we like it. A nice thick bread to keep that cheese melty and gooey.
Is it sharp or medium?
It's
got to
be sharp.
Cheddar.
It's got to be a sharp cheddar.
Sharp cheddar.
Sharp cheddar. Yeah.
And then the other thing that I really like is like a any type of sandwich that has barbecue meat, so brisket or pork or chicken, just like a barbecue sandwich, maybe a little coleslaw on it. That's a good sandwich.
Oh man, that's making me hungry.
Okay, well that's the sandwich section.
That's a sandwich. Good.
So
now we have one last question, Tim. Do you have any pets?
I don't have any pets. No pets.
You're my man right now.
No pets. I love it. I'm going no pets over here as well. So strong pet stance.
It's like I hear other people say, like, I like kids as long as they're not mine. I adore my children, but we just made a decision not to have pets. And I grew up with pets. So I dig, you know, dogs. But just life's really busy. And I think that I do a disservice to a pet.
Yeah.
Do you have any indoor plants?
No, I don't
okay.
have any.
I think that kind of takes the question.
Is there a correlation between an
indoor plant and
a pet?
Yes, it's your lifestyle. You have, you know, you're a busy guy and you don't have pets because they're a lot of work. You got to walk a dog. You got to, you know, they can't feed themselves. Cats take care of themselves. But
I have two teenagers and a wife.
That's enough, isn't it?
And a company with a bunch of great team members and supplier partners like you. I have a lot on my plate.
Maybe someday I'll
get a dog.
That's why the indoor plant thing. That's also having to maintain.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
a good cacti. You know, that's not bad.
That's pretty low maintenance.
That's pretty low maintenance.
You know what they have great? You know what they have really good in Michigan? Michigan has more craft breweries than any other state in the union.
Yeah, it's a great beer state.
They have so much good beer. I've been to a lot of breweries out in Western Michigan. And I know that they have fantastic breweries all over the state.
Where have you been in Western Michigan? Like Founders?
Been to New Holland, Shorts.
Bells?
A few others. Which one?
Bells?
Bells. I have never been to Kalamazoo. Okay. I need to make my way there.
Look, you know where it's at. That's good.
Up to Traverse City. My friends live in Grand Haven, so we try to go up there every summer and visit them. And my buddy is really big into brewing beer and into the beer side, so he's taking me all over the place.
So I'm just wondering how you correlated the indoor plants and go to craft beer.
Well, he was talking about beer and wine and Michigan.
Okay.
And then you go up to Traverse City, and they've got beautiful wineries up there too.
Yeah, wineries that if you took a photo at, you would think you were in Napa.
But the wine doesn't taste like that, Tim. Let's not kid ourselves.
Oh, I didn't say that. I said if you took a photo, you might be able to fool your friends on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Once they taste it, they'll be like, oh, that doesn't taste.
Yeah,
like
we
that.
Actually California. One of our excursions for next is beer, wine, cider, spirits.
Oh.
So we go to Shorts, we go to a spirits distillery, we go to a couple wineries, and then to a site. Whatever they call a cider place, a cidery.
I am a huge Shorts fan, and I love Shorts. Actually, just a couple of places down here in Sarasota, you can get some Shorts at, but
yeah,
not the Soft Parade. The Soft Parade is my favorite. It's great beer. This is real inside beer knowledge here. But
no kidding,
I thought
you were talking about just Shorts. No, I like Shorts too.
As a brewery, yeah. I actually have a Shorts shirt that just has a picture of a guy wearing Shorts on it.
Like that.
Yeah, we end that tour ends at Shorts, and we that's what everybody converges there. So the golfers are golfing, the drinkers are drinking, but the drinkers all end up at Shorts, and by that time of the day they've all had a few cocktails, and so there's you know, cornhole and lots of outdoor games, and it's usually an interesting scene.
Bel Air, right? It's in Bel Air, Michigan, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Well, Tim, thanks so much for coming on the pod today. We really appreciate the time you've given us. Hopefully we can continue this We can come on your pod and have a conversation as well. And to any of your sub agents out there that are looking to, you know, for help in the UCaaS space, please point them our way. And again, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, guys, thank you. You're very welcome. We appreciate the partnership with the Star to Star team. It's been a long, prosperous one, and we're looking forward to the future.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was a really good conversation. I really appreciated Tim going deep on those answers and providing us with the level of detail he did. That was fascinating.
Yeah, it really was. I think that to have that understanding of, you know, they're not just a typical master agency in quantity. They're looking for quality. And I think that their agents are doing the same thing when looking for customers, is that quality of a customer that's going to be with you and stick with you and look at you as being a true solution provider and a partner.
What was your take on his sandwich approach there?
I think it was, I think he's right on. It was like, you know, the whole open face thing. I get that. I like.
To me, it's a sandwich.
No,
I mean,
it's not. You can't just pick it up because it's got the gravy and you could have mashed potatoes on it.
Well, I'm not talking about having mashed potatoes. I'm talking about having like a turkey, open face club or something like that.
No, it's with open face. It's not really a sandwich.
All right. What about his take on the grilled cheese? Grilled cheese.
Yeah, I like that. Grilled cheese on a very
nice, thick.
Nice, thick.
Apple spice
grain.
Layer.
We don't know what kind of bread. We had to ask him about
whole
that.
Grain.
Whole grain. From some bakery
in the Detroit area. Metro Detroit.
We should have asked him exactly what
if
bakery.
You're a bakery in the Metro Detroit area and like to send us your bread samples.
Yes.
Please do. We'll take them.
We'll take them and we'll test them and.
We'll let you know how
cheese
they do.
Too. Send the
we'll
cheese.
Melt the cheese right on there. No
yeah,
problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and you ever been to Michigan?
I've been to Michigan. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a good state.
It's a nice state. I like
people in Michigan are very proud about Michigan.
Yes. Yes.
I don't get that same sense of people being proud about Florida.
You don't? I'm proud of Florida.
You are?
Yeah. I'm a native Floridian. That's why.
Well, so am I. But, you know, I don't know necessarily how deep my pride runs in this state.
Wow.
Got a lot of weirdos here.
Well, you know, they come from other states, mostly the weird ones.
But it doesn't say Nebraska man. It says Florida man.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. That's pretty bizarre, David.
No, man, Florida's a weird state. Michigan's, you know, the only thing I say about Michigan is that let's not confuse a beach. This is my thing with Michigan people. Come up here, we'll go to the beach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's
not a beach.
No.
That's a lake with a bit of sand next to it.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Very cold.
The lake is
it's very rough.
Max temperature of 70.
Yeah.
And the beach is eroding at a rate of like 10 feet an hour. Let's not call that a beach.
Okay.
The beach, if you want to go to a beach.
You go to Florida.
You got to go to Florida.
Siesta Key.
Yeah, you got to come down here. Clearwater beach. Siesta there Key. Go over down to Miami or someplace like
that.
So
you do have some pride in some of the beaches here.
I would say that
that's good to know.
The
David,
beaches are.
Just to have some pride in Florida. You're a native Floridian. Have a little sense of integrity and go, you know what? I'm proud of my beaches.
I like the beaches. I like the gators when they eat people.
I like the gators when they eat people.
Yeah,
I
like the fact that when a bunch of people get eaten by gators, then it becomes like a news story, where people feel like that the gators have somehow banded together in some sort of gator rebellion
a little tribe,
like they met in like a meeting and they were going to be like, let's start eating people, and then you know what I mean, like that doesn't happen. Just stay out of their way and they won't bother you.
I do not want to live in the mind of you. You're a weird. That's a pretty weird.
Because I'm a Florida man.
You're a Florida man.
All right, for Heads in the Cloud, I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm John Ross.
And we'll catch you next time. You ain't ever gonna let me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. Remember that song?